You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. Minor Talk is live, presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Along with me is George Guajardo. No Alberto Retta, he's going to be heading out of the country, and he's on vacation starting now. We sent him home here today. Appreciate Alberto Retta for all he was able to do with us today, filling in for Sal Montes, who's under the weather. Shout out to Sal Montes, along with his son Samir. We want them and wish them a speedy recovery here on the program. So, two-man group here on the show. We're throwing it back. We're ready to go. And for the Miners tonight, they were not ready to go. It was a really, really disgusting home loss. I mean, the first half was just as bad as you could imagine. And, you know, I kind of echo some of the comments and some of the things that were said by head coach Joe Golding in the post-game show. This team was down by as much as 25 points in the first half. You know, the comeback was what it was. I felt like at times, even with like 7 minutes left, it was a two-possession game. Miners, I thought in my head, they've got to win. You got to come back in this one despite the terrible shooting, despite the no three-pointers made, you know, throughout the game. You got to win this game. It's at home. It's at the Haskins Center. Go out there and close this one out when you're down two possessions. And it would have been a valiant effort by this group. It could have given them that dose of success that they desperately need. But they're tight. They're not together. The body language is not there. It's been over a month now. We talked about it maybe 2 weeks ago or a week ago about, you know, this squad has just not been the same offensively for about a month. Well, tonight they brought it to the Don Haskins Center. They were 4 for 25 on three-point attempts. They were 29% from the field here in this one. They are now 17-11 overall. And, George, that's where we start things off here on Minor Talk. It was a rough one.
Yeah, it was really bad, Adrian. I mean, you talk about putting up these terrible shooting numbers, right? They outshot Western Kentucky here by 7 field goal attempts. Typically, you like to see that, right? The more shots you get, the better looks, right? And typically, the more points you could put up. But they were just so abysmal from the field that it didn't even matter. And to your point, they're just not connected, right? They don't look like they're on the same page. It's the turnovers off the fingertips, right? It's the missed layups and... Yeah, they're tight too. Everything that Joel Golding said, we talked about it last week about accountability. It's just right on the nose. But at this point, you know, it doesn't make you feel any better. There are no moral victories at this point. Every game is a must win, I feel like, for UTEP. And it's just not going the right way. No.
Yeah, I agree completely, George. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. It's just not going their way right now. This is just one of those weird things, George. And I would say, you know, for this squad right here and for this team, it's really just doesn't feel like the same squad that we saw in the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. Doesn't feel like the same squad we saw in non-conference play. Doesn't seem like the same squad that we saw to start the conference play. Corey Camper played in this 19 minutes. He didn't practice at all this week. He had finished off with 2 points, 1 for 5 shooting, 3 total rebounds in this one, 2 assists, a steal in 19 minutes of action. I feel for Corey because I know how hard he's playing right now. And George, you know, I don't want to pick on players, but that's just one example of other players just not really or just struggling right now out of the gate.
Yeah, and I've been pretty critical of some players. I've picked on Devin Barnes a lot, especially in conference play. But now it's everybody, right? And you're right. David Terrell has been one of the few that has picked up his play and has, you know, picked up his teammate, Corey. You're right. He's struggling. He wants it bad, like Coach Golding said, like you said. Devin Barnes is putting up points but being really inefficient. And Kevin Kalu, I mean, he had a nice game today but still not consistently putting these games together where they can – you know, effectively lose Corey.
Right.
Right. Like kind of how like we could lose Kevin Kalu earlier in the season and UTEP still found a way to win, right? Corey
yeah.
going down. And so it's tough right now. It's a nasty, nasty cold shooting bug that's bugging the whole team.
Yeah, and really they can't get themselves out of it offensively. Look, there are gonna be people who are gonna pick on certain players and go ahead. I mean, I can reel off some of the stats today that'll just make you sick. But the bottom line is I can reel off all the stats out there. I can tell you anything from this box score that you really want. The bottom line is it's the confidence. it's the lack of where this – they're tight. They're trying to play for their, you know, their home crowd right there, and they're tight in close situations and close moments. Could not get over the hump, and that's just where this team is at currently right now, late February, as they get ready for March. I called this one an absolute must-win. Even in the second half when they were down, even, you know, in 15 minutes left in this one, when it was a 10-11, 12-point game, I was still thinking, they got to win this. They've got to figure out a way to come back and steal this game at home. How crazy does it sound to try to steal a game at home? And then I got flashbacks to New Mexico State in the first half, right? Like, I'm really thinking, oh, wow, could this be a blowout loss for them? And what does a blowout loss late February mean for the squad versus what a blowout loss at home meant earlier in January against New Mexico State? It would mean much worse now. Like, actually, that would have been a worse scenario for UTEP, despite the rivalry, despite how big those UTEP NMSU games are. If you get blown out at home late February to a team like Western Kentucky, who's lost a lot of their players, by the way, I mean, they've had injuries on their side, they've hit adversity, but you hear that stat at the end of the game, Western Kentucky just owns UTEP. They beat UTEP 13 of the last 15 games, including the last four in a row, going all the way back to the CUSA championship one as well. So that's where UTEP's at. They are now 17-11. I also have to mention this one before we open up the phone lines. And by the way, we got full phone lines here on the show. I know it's going to be an emotional show here on the program. 915-505-6009. We'll get to our Win Supply El Paso hot hand of the game later on in the show. And I have a lot of thoughts on the David Terrell Jr., the comments that it is becoming his team. I have a lot of thoughts on that. But this is one final note I'm going to throw out there. DeCannon Wickware is no longer part of the UTEP men's basketball program. UTEP says, quote, "We wish him the best in his future endeavors." And that's all we know so far here from DeCannon Wickware, who is not on the team anymore. So not a huge shock, or also not a huge loss for this squad. He hardly played for UTEP this year, and didn't notice that he wasn't on the bench. And that's where they're at right now. Going to the phones, it's Jake who's going to get us started. Then we'll go to David and then Brian here on the program. Minor Talk continues here, 915-505-6009. Jake, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Adrian? How you doing?
Jake, you're doing all right. Give us your thoughts on this one.
Oh, man, I don't want to be Mr. Sky is Falling because, you know, I've been a diehard UTEP fan for my whole life, but is it time to start talking about Joel Golding's seat getting a little hot here in El Paso?
Is that a question to me?
It is.
All right, I'll give you my thoughts after your call. Go ahead, keep going with your thoughts.
Okay. This is kind of surprising, but if you told me 5 years ago that UTEP football would have a better outlook than basketball does right now, I'd be baffled, and that's what we're going to.
Can we be fair, Jake? Because there's difference between substance and hype. We could buy into hype all we want for everything when it comes to sports. Like, I'm buying into all the hype right now with the Lakers right now. I'm all in. I think this team is an actual contender. But until you actually see it, like, on the field, like, we can't go out there and say, like, that the hype or the excitement is there. I mean, the hype and excitement's there, right? But, like, the substance in terms of winning, they just only won three games this past year, on the football side of things. So I'd say to slow down just a little bit, despite the great acquisitions they had in the offseason, despite the number one overall class that they recruited. I'd also say this, Jake, and to answer your question about Golding, I'm not completely out, and I want to make my judgment after the CUSA tournament. I feel like that's what this team has at least earned up to this point. Can you be frustrated now? Can you feel like the sky is falling now? Go ahead. I mean, this squad right here has lost four in a row. They played bad for about a month. I'm holding this team as accountable as anybody right here. But at the same time, when it comes to firing and things like that, I'll hold my judgment till the end of the season, because we've seen this team before. I mean, last year, a year ago, they were 13-15. Right now, they're 17-11. So by default, they have a better season than last year. I'm not, adhering to mediocrity, but what I'm saying is I'm not going to judge this team until I see what happens in the CUSA tournament. Now, if they're a first round exit in the CUSA tournament, Jake, then we're going to have to revisit this call really negatively.
And yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I just think it's a lot of pressure, not only on my, obviously the players and the coaches, but from the fans too, as far as the Mountain West transition. And, you know, mediocrity in Conference USA is definitely not going to transition well over Conference USA, or over to Mountain West play. I think we can all agree on that.
Agreed 1,000,000%, my friend. Appreciate the phone call, Jake. Thank you for weighing in. Very, very knowledgeable phone call, and I appreciate you getting here on the show. We got one phone line available, 915-505-6009. I thought it was a really good call, and I think it's he left it with the best thoughts out there. George, I'll say it once, I'll say it again. Everything, if I'm UTEP, everything I do is all about the Mountain West. Not just, oh, going into the CUSA tournament and trying to be like a dark horse team. Everything I do and every way I operate is for the Mountain West.
Yeah, absolutely, Adrian. And it's a delicate, delicate balance, right? It's a delicate dance where you have to be able to juggle competing now. And the reality is we're still in CUSA. UTEP is still in CUSA. Mountain West is a year away after next year, right? So you still have to compete, and you still have to put together teams that can beat CUSA teams.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's not about beating CUSA teams. It's about getting ready for the future, man.
Right, right.
It's about recruiting high-level talent so you can leave CUSA in the dust forget about this league. It's getting the right players in place, getting the right scheme in place, coming into the Mountain West saying, wait, forget about everything you're losing. UTEP is coming in,
right,
and UTEP has a winning culture and tradition. They can't leverage that at this point.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, right? The stepping stone into the Mountain West is doing exactly what you said to beat the CUSA teams that we will see for another year at least.
Good point. Yeah, that's right. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Good stretch here. It's David who's joining us next. David, good evening. What's going on?
How's it going?
Go ahead, David. Give us your thoughts.
Okay. First thing, it was embarrassing. Very embarrassing. Okay. Where has Fraser been for the last month?
Okay, I'll answer that after your call because I have a lot of thoughts there. Go ahead, keep going.
Okay. I think Golden has lost the locker room. This Fraser was the leader. He's not there anymore. There are guys out there by themselves shooting threes. And, man, come on. You're by yourself. You got to make it, period. Or else, sit down.
Wide open shots.
Wide open shots. And I can tell you, Horton, right there.
Playing hurt. And, playing hurt.
Yeah. I mean, Yankee's a sophomore, but he's hurting you, though. He's hurting. By not making both shots. Wide open if you make your shots. And they're going to the Mountain West, which is going to be tougher.
No doubt, man. Yeah. David, wrap us up, man. Give us some final thoughts.
Okay. I don't know if it's Golden's what he tells the team in the locker room, but it's just bad.
I hear you, man. I hear you, David. Hey, man, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in. Thank you for your thoughts and opinions. I'm going to talk about Otis Frazier III right after this. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
From hometown to national, sports spoken here. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROT El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
915-505-6009. We've got one phone line available. If you've been waiting to give your thoughts on this game, now is the time to do it. Western Kentucky defeats UTEP 80-73. We are live here on Minor Talk. It's Adrian Broaddus here along with George Guajardo. We are tag teaming this one, two-man crew, as we continue here on Minor Talk. We got two calls to get to. It's Brian, then my tocayo, Adrian. But first, I want to talk a little Otis Frazier III, and I'll get your thoughts too, George, because I'm going to be very, very, simple on this one right here. Let me ask you this, George. Let me ask you. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Let's see if you can try to go in on line one and then put that hold button. If you can, great. If you can't, no problem. We're going to let this person ring. Let's see if you can get it on your side. So that was perfect. Whatever you did right there was excellent. And put it on hold one more time. time, and then I think we're good. Thank you for our listeners for having some patience with us here on the show as we continue here. Two-man crew as we continue. Otis Frazier III has had two bad Thursdays. He had a bad Thursday tonight, 4 points in this matchup here. He just struggled mightily. 7 rebounds. That was the positive here from this one. But you can't get it done when you shoot 12% from the floor. And that's what happened with Otis Frazier III tonight. Shockingly, 12% from the floor. But then you go back a week ago on a Thursday evening against Kennesaw State. He made only 3 points in that one. And he also shot 20% from the field in that game. Struggled mightily in that one as well. But sandwiched in between, George, he had his career high 25-point performance on a 57% shooting. So do you call it inconsistent play from Otis Frazier III over the last month? Because I don't know if I'm willing to just say it's simply bad. I just say that, you know, maybe he's playing a little tense, a little tight, just trying to make things happen. And when you're playing desperate like that, if anybody on this team, whether it's a senior leader like him or anybody on the squad, it's just not the right place to be. And I feel like he's chasing things. And it's just not working out.
Yeah, definitely looks and feels like pressing, right? I think the Jacksonville State game is a great example of him like putting the load on his shoulders, right? And doing all he can to beat at the time was top of the Conference USA contender, right? And so it could be tired, yeah, but inconsistency is the best word. I've got some numbers for you here that you might like.
Okay.
Over the last 5 games, he's 17 for 45 from the floor, 37%. From three, he's 7 for 20. I mean, that is a struggle, right? It does look like he's pressing a bit. He could be tired, and today, to your point, the rebounding was the best thing, right? 7 rebounds, but I don't know, man. Do you think he might be out of gas, or is he just going through the ups and downs of you know, the late seasons? What's going on?
I've seen this before from seniors. This happens at times. I want to pinpoint the last one with statistical evidence, and I can't do it right now with the stats not in front of me. But I want to say, and you know, the minor faithful, the true minor faithful out there who are listening to this show might have some good you know, other analogies or other, I guess, comparisons that they'd like to make. But I'd like to throw out Paul Thomas, the final stretch of his senior season, and how a lot of fans felt like he played a little inconsistent through that final stretch. And when you look back on it, Paul Thomas, you know, gave a lot to that team. I thought they were just undermanned, and he gave a lot to that team. And he was just asked to be the guy on a team where they just lacked a lot of talent on that squad. But I kind of remember that senior season throughout that final stretch. Miners weren't winning, and Paul Thomas was trying to do his best, but he was pressing in certain situations. And that's how I would kind of compare it to what we're seeing right now from Otis Frazier III. Not necessarily bad play, maybe inconsistent if you want to call it that, over the last couple weeks. I think he cares so deeply about this team, and he wants so much success for this squad. But at some points, when you're playing that tense and that nervous and that you know, kind of looking over your shoulder, making sure you're good, it's the body language. He went out and checked out at one point in this game, and I was watching him go over to the bench. I was thinking, man, the shoulder slumped. He's getting in the chair. Like, those aren't the things I'm used to seeing from Otis Frazier III, who I'd consider, you know, before this stretch, a first-team all-conference USA type of player. After the last month or so, or, you know, maybe even just a couple weeks or so, I don't know if he's that. I think he's still an all-conference caliber player, no doubt about it. He's going to make all-CUSA defense for leading the league, basically, and leading one of the leaders in the country in steals per game. But I don't know if he's there right now as a first-team CUSA player, bar none, or like no doubt about it. Let's keep it moving on the phones here. We'll continue with more of our thoughts later on the show. 915-505-6009. We got full phone lines. We got to burn through these. Brian's next with us. He's been patiently waiting. Brian, good evening. Give us your thoughts on the game.
Well, it's certainly been disappointing for these UTEP Miners. I remember the last game I went to was the Kennesaw State game where we won. At that point, we were 15-7. Now we've fallen down to 17-11. At this point, my previous claim of us winning 20 games is pretty much inevitable. I mean, not inevitable, but immeasurable because, well, at this rate, we're not going to reach it with how badly we've been playing. But I'm telling you, man, ever since Ahmad Bynum got suspended from the team temporarily, this team has fallen off a cliff from the seams of it. He's not scoring as much, and the other team members are not doing their contributions that well. So it leaves the door wide open to questions on what's going on with the team behind the scenes, because why did they go from looking so good for the past few games into now looking terrible? I don't know, man. It's really confusing, but I really do think that Joel Goldie's time at UTEP is up. I know you've told me a lot in the past, Adrian, that not to overreact about it, but we got to keep asking ourselves, how are we going to continue dealing with this if we can't keep going past that hill? But that's all I got, guys.
You know, that's a great point there, Brian. I'll acknowledge that, and I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in. I get the frustrations from the fans. Like, if you're going to run it back for year five and you haven't seen the success that you want as a fan, I get it. But at the same time, you know, before Golding got here, it wasn't great. And now that Golding's here, fans are ready to see, you know, a change here as year four is starting to wind down. I'd say save your judgments until the CUSA tournament. Back to the phones we go. It's my tocayo. Adrian is next with us. Adrian, good evening. Give us your thoughts on this game.
What's up, folks? Adrian, you mentioned it earlier. You said this is year five. And we just don't
this
have
this is year four, but yeah, believe, going into year five
year
next
four,
year.
Excuse
yeah.
me. We just don't have the talent. You look at teams that we're playing against and they're bigger and they're better. It's as simple as that. Never in a million years would I have thought we'd be losing to the likes of Kennesaw State and Jacksonville State. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Haskins? You telling Haskins that in 20 years we're going to lose to teams like that? I mean, he's rolling in his grave. And aside from that, we're moving to the Mountain West. I mean, I can only imagine. I can only imagine, talent-wise, what they're going to do to us. It's embarrassing that their ace man off the bench, maybe ninth man off the bench, who's maybe 5'5", outplayed two of our starters combined. I'm beyond words right now, man.
Tocayo, I'm going to ask you the serious question right here. Serious question, okay? Is this a UTEP coaching problem and a player problem, or is this an institution problem? And the reason I'm asking you this is I look over to Western Kentucky, and I look over to Jacksonville State, and I hear you what you're saying about the Kennesaw States of the world, and I look at those programs, and I think, okay, wait, if I'm outside looking in, I'd say these programs right here really, truly invested in their programs from an institutional perspective, invested in it to transition into the Conference USA to try to have success immediately. Look at what Jacksonville State did in football in year one under Rich Rod. Like, they put so much money into that program on the football side of things that they're having success. I look over at Western Kentucky. That's a team that has over $1 million in NIL. Where is UTEP right now? They're about a third of that right there for their whole roster. And if Western Kentucky or teams like that in the conference, Liberty, for example, who has over $1 million apparently in NIL resources. Western Kentucky, by the way, doesn't just have one collective. They have like three or four collectives that support their different athletics groups. And unfortunately, I was asked this by somebody today, is it a UTEP coaching problem and a player problem, or is it an institutional problem as a whole? Like, is this UTEP that needs to kind of step in the right direction? Because when you say all those programs and you reflect on the past, I don't discredit what you're saying there, Tocayo, but at the same time, I wonder if UTEP's ready with what they have on their resources in order to compete with everybody else, including the Mountain West, when they transition soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, Adrian, it's many different factors, and I'm not going to put all the blame on Golden, and I'm not going to put all the blame on the players. I mean, the fact that they fought back in that second half when they could have just killed over speaks to their character. Again, their kids. Golding, I love his fire. I love his passion. I just don't think that they've done what they need to do, and not just Golding, but UTEP included, to bring in the caliber of talent that it takes to win the way that they should be winning.
Fair. I mean, that's totally fair to ask as a fan. I'd say what you're asking for right there is no different than what they're asking for 45 minutes up the street, right? They want the same thing that UTEP fans want right now. The difference is they've made it to the tournament recently, and within the last half decade. And the Miners, they're searching for their first NCAA tournament appearance since 2010. They're searching for their first ever NCAA tournament win since 1992. Let's look in the mirror. Let's just see where this program is really at and understand, you know, what this is on a grand scheme of things. So, yeah, I hear you, Tocayo. Good phone call. I appreciate you weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009. Let's catapult Ruben up. He's next. Then we're going to go to Carlos, who's on the show with us here on Minor Talk. 915-505-6009. Along with George Guajardo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're continuing here on Minor Talk. We'll have our Win Supply El Paso hot hand of the game later on. And, of course, Minor Talk is brought to you here by Jack in the Box. Ruben's next with us. Ruben, good evening, man. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, Adrian. Hey, listen, I'm going to start off with this. I totally disagree with your previous caller, Adrian. I think there is a ton of talent on this team. I think we're looking at the game. I think the thing that's still in that, and I can't believe that it's this late in the season, and we still haven't found a decent rotation that is going to keep us in games. You know, that first half tonight, it's like Night of the Living Dead. There was nothing but zombies walking around out there. And it's hard to say that after I just said that they have a ton of talent. I mean, it's hard to explain what happens because they come out in the second half. That was a completely different team, you know? And I mean, and they've got the firepower and they've got the talent. You know, they pulled it in within three at the very end of the game. And then they just had turnover after turnover after turnover. And for whatever reason, you know, we just couldn't keep them out of the paint. They just drove into the paint all night long. They had their way with everybody inside, you know? And I can't figure that out. But, you know, you're talking about whether it's a coaching thing or an institutional thing. I mean, I honestly think it's more of an institutional thing.
Agreed.
Because when you stop to think about it, I mean, think about it. All these teams around, you know, that are in Conference USA, I mean, you know, you hear about how much money they have in their collective and everything like that. We can't even scratch the surface with those guys. We can't. You know? And to think that we're going into the Mountain West with that NIL, you know, that we have, I just don't see it. I don't at all.
And maybe it improves year over year, right, Ruben? Like, I'm not discounting that either. Like, I'm saying these things to just address them and how important they are in terms of translating to wins and losses. And that's unfair to an extent, right? There's, like, these, like, socioeconomic disparities between different programs and different, you know, powers, high majors, low majors, mid majors, whatever you want to say. There's a definite discrepancy across the board that we're seeing right now. The one thing I would say, Ruben, is that, you know, for the Miners, yeah, it's just not where it needs to be when you're going to try to get competitive and go to the Mountain West and change over to the conference. How crazy is it? Like, I was telling somebody today, just a fan who goes to a bunch of games, that UTEP's never won Conference USA. They were mind blown by that one. Like, they could not even fathom the fact that UTEP's been in this league for so long and they've never won it in basketball.
You know, the thing about it is you know, as long as I've been around, I can remember that Conference USA tournament when UTEP played Memphis here and lost at the very end.
I can too.
That's the closest that we've ever come to winning Conference USA. And even then, on our home court, we choked. You know? And I tell you, I mean, you know me. I bleed orange, you know, as much as I complain about them. But I complain about them, man, because I genuinely care. You know what I mean? And it's frustrating. And the thing is that I think that Coach Golding is a hell of a coach. I'm going to say that publicly because I strongly believe that. I really do. I just can't figure out what it is that doesn't translate from practice to the games. to me, that's where the mystery is. You know, because listening to him on the post-game show when he was talking about, you know, the practices and stuff they've had, I mean, he said it himself. They've had amazing practices. I just can't figure out why it doesn't translate over. And I tell you, to me, the most disappointing half of a basketball game was the one I saw tonight all season long. And I just can't put my finger on it. And it's a shame because right now we should be playing lights out basketball, getting ready for the tournament, you know?
Yes.
And
yes,
it's unfortunate because like I said before, and I'll say it again, there is a lot of talent on that team, and I'll stick with that no matter what.
Ruben, I appreciate you as always, man. Thank you for weighing in here on the show. 915-505-6009. Minor Talk continues. Carlos is next with us. People are patiently waiting here with us on the show. After Carlos, we've got Leon. 915-505-6009. I see all the tweets. I'm going to get to as many as I can, including yours right now. Edgar Montiel from Palo Verde Homes. He says, Coach Walden is able to recruit top talent with limited NIL. Shouldn't Hoops be able to do it too? It's all mindset and marketing. If you think you are not worthy, that's what you will attract. Edgar, I agree on the philosophy on the back end of that, but I will say with knowledge, Walden has had some NIL that he's thrown out to some high-level guys, and I think you can kind of piece together what I'm saying as far as one of the top-level recruits they got over this offseason. He definitely got a good chunk of change for NIL, and I know that for sure. 915-505-6009, it is Carlos next with us. Carlos, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, guys. So I like the previous conversations, but I'm going to focus on today or just like the past
couple weeks. Thank you. Yeah, let's bring it back to right now in the present day instead of taking a bird's eye view on everything. Yeah. Thank you, Carlos.
So, you know, these last couple of weeks, to me at least, this team has been basically walking on quicksand. They're trying their hardest to win this game, but them working so hard is just putting them further and further down in the quicksand. And things just keep going wrong, right? You know, that the first half is very indicative of that. You know, I don't think anyone would necessarily question the effort. At least my opinion, shots weren't going down, whatever. But, you know, it's just so hard to play, to get your mind out of that, oh, well, what happened in the past? We got to prove it wrong. You know, 10-33, all that stuff. It's extraordinarily difficult for them to get that out of their minds and just play focused right now. You know, you can have all the practices, great practices in the world, but if you can't get out of that quicksand, then you're trapped in there, and they may be doomed. But, you know, I really don't know where this team goes from here in terms of how do they get their groove back. You know, obviously Middle Tennessee is a big game for them. You know, that's definitely a must win in order to build back some confidence. But, you know, this team just – and actually the worst thing that they're doing right now is not playing, like, with joy. It doesn't seem like they play with any fun at the current moment in time.
Can I give you a quick solution? And I want to get your thoughts on this, Carlos, because you've been pretty consistent on calling in on the show. So what if UTEP, and I'll ask you this one too, George, after I get Carlos's thoughts. What if UTEP, behind closed doors today, sat David Terrell down and said this, look, here are the keys. This is your team. And I actually think throughout this last month, he's been the guy who's actually grown and grown before our eyes into blossomed into a pretty nice talent. I know it's hard to do it both ways, right? Like he gives so much effort, and when he's on and locked in on both sides, he can steal and score. He can dish out assists. He can also create steals. He can grab rebounds like he grabbed 7 tonight. You know, he could score in bunches like he's able to do. He could attack the rim. And I think he is becoming that kind of all-around player. But he's the alpha of the group, you could tell. And I really like the comments of what Golding said at the end. It's they kind of go based off his body language. They go based off his energy. Tonight, when they were humming in the second half, Terrell was helping them fly all over. I liked Barnes' two-man game with Kevin Kalu in certain stretches, but I feel like the behind closed doors, the next step for them to do is just say, hey, look, man, here are the keys to the car. We've kind of known this all year long, but now it's time to really go, do a full go on this. And I've been trying to hint at this all season long, but I think this is really where this team's at. Well, I'll get your thoughts there, Carlos. What do you think?
Yeah, so, you know, actually, the last time I called in was after the Beach game, so the Ball Dogs Classic. And the night before, I was like, David Terrell needs to be the guy. He needs to do this and that. I love David Terrell. He's a supremely talented guy. He cannot score by himself. He cannot be the only one, because that's not fair to him. Because if he has to take up that offensive load, then you might lose some of that defensive tenacity that he brings.
That's a good point.
And, you know, just...
It's a good point, Carlos. I hear what you're saying, man. Hey, man, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for weighing in here on the show. I'll just say this for Terrell. He doesn't attempt a ton of shots to begin with. Like, he had 7 attempts tonight. He was 4-for-7. I'd love to see what it would look like to see him go 12 attempts. Like, Devin Barnes had 12 attempts tonight. He was 1-for-12. I'm not trying to pick on him. I'm just saying that that's the shot volume that he had. Could David Terrell Jr. have that kind of shot volume right there? And what would that look like offensively for the Miners? Look, he loves to get people involved through assists. He had 5 assists today. I said 7 rebounds. It was actually 8 when it was all said and done. And 3 steals in this game. Like, Terrell Jr. filled up the stat sheet, George. I think it's his team.
He's been doing this for months now, Adrian. We've talked about it. And I think, what was it, last week or a couple weeks ago when we mentioned, yeah, he's growing right in front of our eyes. And maybe that's what we're looking at right now, is a team in transition that is shifting away from Otis Frazier, even Corey Camper, right, to David Terrell.
Torch is passing.
Right now. And that could be some of the struggles that we're seeing. And to your point about the closed door thing, I don't even think Otis would, you know, take that the wrong way. I think that he is mature enough and so much of a team player that he would be like, yeah, maybe it's time that it, you know, that Terrell takes the torch from me. And it could be the best thing. He's over this last 5-game stretch where UTEP is 1-4, I think Terrell, his worst shooting percentage, and I'll get the actual stats later. I'm working on them right now. I think his worst game was, what, 40% that he shot from the floor? And I want to say that was against Kennesaw. But again, I'll double check that. He's been efficient. He's kept it up. And yeah, the energy and the efforts there, the rebounding, I mean, he's flying around. I'm trying to find a UTEP comp to him in my head, and I can't come up with one, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too. He is unique. He is that kind of player. Yeah. I agree on that completely. You know, I think that going back to one of the comments that Ruben said earlier, you know, this team, he was disagreeing how the other caller, Adrian, was saying how this team lacks talent. I think talent is, you know, reflective of guys like David Terrell Jr. He has a lot of talent.
Yeah, he has tons of it. And he's got tons of confidence. And I think that right now he's still picking his spots. But yeah, Joe Golding has to sit him down and give him the keys. It's time. It's time. We're going to need him, right? I mean, he's been playing the best ball. Yeah, I would love to see what David Terrell 12 attempts would look like. I'm sure that would be great. And he could probably sniff 20 points a night, you know, with that kind of efficiency that he's been putting up.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Leon is next with us. Leon, good evening, man. What's going on? Thank you for patiently waiting with us, man.
Oh, hey, no problem. A lot of great comments from callers tonight. And, you know, I guess living in the present is what you said. They got, what, 3 more games in the regular season, and then
yes,
we go into the tourney, right? And I think they're sitting at now tied for 6th, or did they drop?
No,
they have to,
right.
If they have that play, yeah, if they play that playing game, and even now, they may not win another game. That first half that I saw tonight, Adrian, I was wondering when you were going to go in and shoot a shot, man. I heard you got a sweet one, because I don't know.
No, I'd be like KJ Thomas dishing it out left and right, not attempting a single shot. That'd be me. That's my player comp.
I don't know. Those cheerleaders throwing the T-shirts looked pretty good. Whatever happened the first half, it was really, really bad. The rebounding, the effort. You know, I think Golding has one more year. You know, whether you renew or not, I wouldn't at this point. And I liked him. I have a lot of hope for Joel Golding. Last year on the run. But last year's team, the guards, I think, were a little – I think we had a little more experienced guards, maybe, tougher. Zid Powell and Tay Hardy, and you're talking about Terrell. Terrell last year, man, he was growing towards the end.
Yes.
He was driving the basket just like he did tonight. So, I mean, he's doing what he needs to do, man, and it's unfortunate the shooting woes that happened tonight. But the second half, it's just hard for kids to expend that much energy. And there were a couple times that I think Golding needs to learn how to change up strategy just a tad when something's not working. Because that first half, the point guard did whatever the hell he wanted. And we didn't have an answer for him. Somehow he doesn't get the ball the second half and scored, what, 2 points?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make that adjustment quicker, man. This was a really embarrassing. Caller said earlier the Bear would be turning over in his grave that first half. I don't think I've ever seen a worst half. Adrian, they shouldn't have even gone in at halftime. Practice layups, no breast. I mean, it was that bad.
Do you agree with what the? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Leo.
Go ahead. No, please go ahead.
I was going to ask you. Do you agree with the previous caller said that they lack joy? Like they're not playing with the same joy right now.
I'm putting that on Golding. Whatever the heck happened with Bynum, whatever the heck happened tonight was Wickware. Did he get dismissed tonight? So there's something going on, and you bring in a junior college guy that's very, very talented. But, yeah, there's something going on. Golding, I don't think he knows how to fix it. I don't think they know how to fix this one. Let's hope they catch fire here soon, man, because it's a very disappointing season if it ends this way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, and I wouldn't renew the contract. All I would say.
Okay. Thanks, Leon, guys. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. Let's get to Twitter next. A lot of comments on Twitter here on the show. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. I'll get your comments on the joy thought. I thought, you know, that comment earlier, that stuck with me. I even wrote it down, no joy. I'll get back to that one later. This is coming in from Daniel Gonzalez. I wish this was their last game. This is from Talisha Bennett. There's about as much excitement in the stands as the floor, zero. And said, is there a five-step rule on travels? Because these are vacations. Talisha Bennett, by the way, has been a great caller on our show previously. I believe she's Tay Hardy's sister. So big shout-out to her. Thank you for still chiming in here on Minor Talk as we continue. Poncho chiming in. Great second half by UTEP. Too bad they came out flat in the first half. Once again, Coach Joe Golding did not have the team ready to play. Trey Politz, it's simple, UTEP fire. Too simple to fire Jim and Joe, or UTEP men's basketball will be a laughingstock. Seriously, don't make the same mistake again, like the Dana Dimmel extension. Fire Golding. Man, that's, Trey's been consistent all season long. Manny David missed the first half. Got there in time to see the comeback in the second half. You and I both, by the way. Manny says, poor start to the game cost this game. Still glad they fought back. Liberty and Jack State are the top teams in Conference USA. Everyone else can win any game. He also said, I might be one of the few, but I still believe in Coach Joe Golding. Hopefully Miners can get a win Saturday and one of the two on the road and make a good run in the Conference USA tournament. Hashtag Miner Talk. Going back to that first comment, Manny, everyone else can win any game. I don't agree with that because, George, what we're seeing right now is I think it's matchup-based. I really do. I truly believe it's matchup-based across the board. Golding said this earlier in the week, and the more I look at the standings, the more I look at the different teams, I'm starting to circle the certain teams that I want UTEP to avoid in the CUSA tournament, and then I'm like highlighting teams that I want them to play, you know, if they see them in the tournament based off matchups.
Yeah, absolutely, Adrian. And I'm going to take it a step further. It's not just matchups, it's adjustments, right? This is a round robin. And so every team gets to look at each other twice. And I feel that UTEP right now is just behind the eight ball in the adjustment category. But yeah, the matchups is where it starts. And is Western Kentucky a bad matchup for UTEP?
100% yes.
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
Yes.
Is Liberty a bad matchup for anybody?
Yes.
Probably, right? Definitely
point,
for
yes.
UTEP. NMSU, though, that the second game right ended up kind of revealing to everybody that, hey, maybe a team like that is a good matchup
I
for
don't,
UTEP.
I don't – if I'm UTEP – you want to avoid your rivals in the CUSA tournament. That's like a 50-50 game, records thrown out the window.
Yeah, you throw the records out the window, but looking at a basketball and you take away the NMSU thing, which I guess you can, right? Is that a good or bad matchup for UTEP?
Bad matchup. I think it's a bad – I have to put the rivalry in it. It's so hard to just take away the rivalry. It's there because of the rivalry.
Right, and you can't. So, good point. who's a good matchup then?
I'd like if you – okay, good question. If UTEP goes up against Jacksonville State one more time, I actually like the Miners in that matchup. So if they have to get one of those lesser seeds, I'd – you know, if I were UTEP, I'd want to face Jacksonville State way more than I'd want to face Liberty. People might disagree and say, oh, well, I've seen Liberty before. I think UTEP could beat that squad. And I think they can. It just has to be the right instance, right situation. You don't want to, you know, slog through the regular season, barely win the first game of the CUSA tournament, and then have to play Liberty. Like, that's not what you want to do if you're UTEP. The other team, I think, you know, the Kennesaw State team, I don't believe that team, you know, come CUSA tournament is going to have that experience behind them in order to do what they need to do to, like, go far in the tournament. So those are, like, I guess if I'd have to go a rough estimate right off the bat, those are the ones right there. I'd also want to avoid La Tech, by the way. That's still a talented squad, and they're like a scary 8th, 9th, 10th seed, whatever that looks like, to maybe surprise some people in that first round. So any thoughts on those?
Yeah, I was gonna. I was actually thinking La Tech was a good matchup. Remember that the start of the conference season, we beat them by double digits. Sam Houston, and I know they're kind of still wallowing in the bottom of the CUSA rankings right now. But are those good matchups? FIU.
Oh well, of course. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it looks like an uphill battle here. But yeah, this is matchups right now and adjustments. And I think that okay, the matchups are tough. Right. You're in the latter part of the season, you can't really do anything about that at this point, personnel-wise, right? Matchup-wise. But you can make the adjustments, and I still think UTEP is behind the eight ball there.
Matthew Castro, win the CUSA tournament or bust for Coach Golding. His teams are consistently unprepared to play. This team lost its confidence. Felt like Coach lost the team a few games ago. Adrian at Enemy Win 3, watching this team on TV and seeing the crowd tells me, this is no longer sustainable. And as far as that crowd goes, Adrian, by the way, it was 4,300 at the Don Haskins Center tonight. Thought it was a light crowd as well. I know it's a weeknight. I know the season's winding down, but this is when, you know, fans should show up the most, when it really matters, when, you know, the team really needs a fan base behind them. And you know what? The team really hasn't warranted the fan base to show up either. So, you know, I'm not knocking fans right there. It just is what it is. My pal Diego Mendoza of El Paso Matters. Check him out on Instagram and on Twitter at Diego Mendoza Moyers. Middling team in a mediocre conference. Just awful that UTEP football and basketball are both so uncompetitive in conference play right now. Golding has no answers. See, I like that comment by Diego about both UTEP football and basketball are uncompetitive in conference play right now. It's true. I like that comment. I think it's much more fair than just buying in on all the hype that's there for football. Like, I'm buying in on the hype and excitement for what it is, but is that going to translate to wins and losses? I think we're going to have to wait till August to see. So there's a little UTEP football sprinkle right there. Tristan Pence, once again, Coach Joe Golding does not have his team ready to start a game. The slow start doomed the Miners tonight. Despite the awful play as of late, I believe UTEP has the players to make a run in the CUSA tournament. Not sure if UTEP has the coaching to do it, though. Chris Banks, UTEP's heavy guard lineup just isn't going to cut it. They're talented, but we need a true center or power forward. We need more offense and rebounding in the paint from a big man. On a side note, wasn't DeCannon Wickware sidelined earlier this year due to a medical issue? I don't know about that, Chris, but I'll look into that, and I'll try to find out more about that one right there. Flash Action 60, UTEP is going to be a bottom feeder Mountain West program for years. Wow. Let's go to the phones. James is next with us. 915-505-6009. Late night Miner talk here on the show. If you've been waiting to get on the show, or if you weren't able to get in earlier, give us a call now. 915-505-6009. We're presented by Jack in the Box. By the way, they're open 365 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. Big shout out to Jack in the Box for being our main sponsor here on Miner Talk as we continue. James, good evening. What's going on? What'd you think of this
evening,
game?
And thank you again for letting us have a venue for us to voice our concerns. Been there at every basketball game. You brought up some good questions. My biggest issue is the improvement. I mean, have the players improved from the start of the season to the end of the season? And I look at like two or three different areas: free throw shooting, 3-point shooting. And if the 3-point shooting isn't they're not on that evening, we don't have a fallback. I mean, if you look at it, we don't have a 15 to 20 point I mean, 20-foot range of offense. I mean, David Terrell, unbelievably good ball player. He is not the answer. He's not the answer. He's a complimentary, and that's what makes him so good. But we expend so much energy on trying to get those points on and the turnovers that, I mean, we get easy layups to the other guys and dunks. And I tell you, there was a time, there was a key point there in the game. I believe that we were down by two or three. We should have called a timeout because the crowd was back in it. 4,300 was really, really loud today. They were really loud, and I commend El Paso for going out there and being so loud in very inclement weather. But, again, we don't set up a play to make sure that we can get those points to get us over the hump because Western Kentucky was starting to feel the heat.
They were. So, I mean, it was a 4-point game. Yeah. Like they were. Yeah. They were. The crowd was into it too. So you know, one person complains about the fans, but like 7-8 minutes left in the game, James, they're in this game. They're 4 points
absolutely
down. It's there to steal. Like imagine being down at 1.25 points and then cutting it to 4 points, even without the good shooting numbers to back it.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you look at it. How were we at the at the beginning of the season, and have we improved even methodically a little bit in certain areas? And we haven't. And unfortunately, well, you know who's going to get the blame? The coaches. You know, and like I was telling everybody around our group there, okay, the coaches don't go out and shoot. But, you know, what are we doing as a coach to for the key moments, the key times when you can determine? And one of the things that was very good about from Don Haskins and Billy Gillespie was the timing. The timing, the importance of getting a 3-point to go in, the importance of getting a stop, the importance of getting free throws in. So, again, great show. Thank you very much. And we'll be there again on Saturday.
Yeah, we will too, James. I appreciate you. Final time of the year, which is crazy to even say. But I appreciate you. I appreciate you giving us a call. And thank you for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009 as we start to wind things down here on the show. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. And 600ESPNElPaso.com. We got a couple other comments to get to here on Minor Talk on Twitter and X. So we'll read some of those comments. And then we'll get to our hot hand of the game here on the program as well. And then we'll wrap up the show. If anybody has some final comments, 915-505-6009. Depressed UTEP fan. Joe Golding, yikes, man. Not a great X's and O's guy, not a great recruiter. What exactly does he bring to the table? You can't expect to go out and out effort teams every night. This is 915 Sun City Caper. Golding needs to go. He's not the answer. Moving to the Mountain West, it wouldn't get any easier. Jim Center needs to end this and let Joe move on. Golding given more than enough time to fix this. This is in from Poncho. Or actually, I already read this one from earlier. Let's see. This is from Joe Chacon. Miners probably go 3-3 to end the season. I'll take two of those three wins to end the year going into hot for the CUSA tournament. 4-2 is very possible, but it would take drastic improvements to defensive play and against the easy layups. My tweet 2 weeks ago, then he says this right now. He says, my tweet 2 weeks ago isn't aging well. Same problem still plague the team. They can still make it 3-3 to end the season, but it's going to take a stretch. Hashtag fingers crossed. Hashtag really sweating it now. Hashtag Georgia, the UTEP jungle. What about that one? That's a great one.
Yeah, I love it.
Joe Chacon.
Gotta keep that going.
Georgia, the UTEP jungle. Oh, man. Joe Chacon with the hashtags. Always hilarious. This is sad UTEP fan. This is crunch time, and you can't get your team ready. I get your guys won't call for Golding's head, but dear God, hold him responsible these 4 games in a row. And another loss at home. Year 4, most of the kids return, and they're still finding things. Come on, bro. Look, man, if you weren't listening to the show, you're probably just taking bits and pieces of what I'm saying. Or if you heard parts of this one and are twisting my thoughts on the bigger picture, I'm adamant on this. Like, if you want to jump on social media and say somebody should be fired, I can understand that, and I get it if you're a fan, but I'm not going to I'm going to hold my judgment until the end of the season just based on how I am, and that's kind of just my thing. Like, this is me every year. I did this last year where they were 13 and 15. I wasn't saying anything irrational about how you need to fire somebody right away. I was saying, look to the end, and then let's reassess at the end of the season afterwards. So can I hold them accountable after four losses? Of course. That's why we had, over an hour and a half here show on Minor Talk, and that's why people called in left and right, and they were real fiery about, you know, this loss tonight, and I get them. I understand why people are upset after this one right here. I say that if you watch this team a month and a half ago and you watch this team tonight, totally different right now. Totally, totally different here moving forward. Well, guys, our telephone number, one last time, 915-505-6009. But it's looking like we're winding it up here on the program as we continue. A couple other tweets to get to on the show. This is coming in from Chi-Town Miner. Missed the game tonight because my dog ate a bunch of pills right before tip-off. Had to run him over to the vet to puke it all out. He's better now, but it looks like he even had a better night than our Miners. Box score looks like they showed some fight, though, and then used the throw up emoji. Hang in there, Chi-Town Miner. I appreciate you, man. Hope your dog's okay. Send us a pic of the dog. I'm worried about him. All right, this is my favorite Twitter account. Delusional Cade McConnell fan. 10:33 doesn't mean anything since Western swept us. What is going on behind the scenes? The fall off began as soon as Bynum was suspended, so something has to be going on. I'm suspect of it. Hashtag Minor Talk. Delusional Cade McConnell fan? He made it. He's got a burner. Cade made it.
I was going to say, made it. He either made it or it's my burner.
I'm saying he made it as a celebrity, a local celebrity at least.
Yeah.
Cade McConnell is officially stamped as the guy getting a burner account named after him.
As he should be.
This is coming in on our 600 ESPN El Paso app from Ray Ray. Don't fire Golding. Accept our situation. No NCAA tournament. Win a New Mexico State game here and there. Win a big game once a year and that's it. Oh, that sounds depressing, man. That sounds depressing, Ray.
That does.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm there with that one. That's too depressing for me. Daniel, this team isn't winning anything this year. This team plays like they don't trust each other at all, and the chemistry is lacking. The athletic department hasn't really done enough to help them out with resources. I agree with you, Daniel. I agree with you completely. 915-505-6009. Our hot hand of the game from this one, and this is a big shout-out to Wind Supply El Paso. Hey, our temperature here in El Paso is starting to finally flip. We're getting hotter temperatures left and right. As the weather starts to heat up, make sure that you have the right air conditioning system in your home in order to combat the El Paso heat. That's windsupplyelpaso.com. That's where you could stay on schedule with them and see why home builders make them their trusted HVAC system supplier. Click on their website. It's windsupplyelpaso.com. Hit the Find a Dealer tab. That will show you different Champion dealers, Mastercool dealers, Convair Air dealers, and all the different dealers out there under the Wind Supply El Paso umbrella. Check them out online again, windsupplyelpaso.com. It's David Terrell Jr. who's the hot hand of the game from this one. 14 points, 4-for-7 from the field, 8 total rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 37 minutes of action. Talked about it earlier, but really like this stretch from Terrell. He's been kind of the one bright spot. You know who had another nice game today? Let's say something nice about Kevin Kalu. How about it?
Yeah. We talked a lot about getting him into double figures, right, and what it means for UTEP. I tweeted out that the Miners are 7-1 when he gets into double figures.
Interesting.
Today is the second loss of that double figure stretch, so the Miners are now 7-2 when Kevin Kalu gets into double figures.
He finishes out this one here with 13 points on 5-6 scoring, 7 rebounds, and 23 points along with a block. One point, it was like his hottest moment, and sometimes you see this with college players. Like, they get so hot that they want the ball, and they're going to do whatever they can to like muster and try to get the ball and score. He was just playing out of his mind during one stretch. A ball goes out of bounds. He gets a pass off an inbound, and he misses like this hook shot. And I thought that deflated him. Like, I thought that let him get to his head. when in reality he was playing great during that stretch. Like, I'd wish sometimes this team right now would have a short-term memory and just be like, oh, okay, I missed a shot. I'm going back. I'm gonna have this kind of mentality right back at it, you know, even if I miss a shot.
Yeah, and Coach Golding spoke about that, right? The offense is really in their heads right now. We talked about it them playing tight. Like, every single missed shot is just deflating them more and more and more. But you're right. He was playing great during that stretch, and he shouldn't have let it deflate him. I think I go back and think about Rick Pitino, and there is a clip about from him this year.
Yeah, coaching I know
up.
Which one.
You know
which
one?
Yeah.
I don't care if you miss your shot. Nobody cares if you miss your shot. Go back and play defense, you know, and kind of earn that shot back from there. And right now, yeah, the offense is just feeding everything else right now. Like Coach Golding said, and it just isn't good.
And I did think the offense affected the defense in the first half of this game. Yeah. And I agree that the second half they had competition, they made it look good, but it's not good enough. Like, moral victories are out the window. You can take moral victories from other home losses, not this one. When backs were against the wall, they absolutely needed to win tonight for morale's sake, for motivation's sake, for momentum's sake. Momentum is number one. You're finishing the month of February. You're turning the page to March. Got to win these games. Got to have more success as you're getting ready for the CUSA tournament, which is the only thing that matters.
At this point, yeah. Well, at any point, right, this series, we talked about it all year. Maybe turning the page, maybe ripping that February off the calendar will do them some good, and we could see that team that we saw, you know, in December and January that was competing with the best of the teams that were on the schedule, right?
I'll leave our listeners with this one. Over the month of February, over the 4 years, Joe Golding coached teams are 10-20 in the month of February. So, but it also tells you that this is kind of a slog of a month for this squad and for this program under Golding. And maybe better things are ahead come March. But you're gonna have to really show what you could do and not just say it and speak it into, you know, you have to speak it into existence and actually do it. So let's see what happens. I'm looking forward to Saturday. It's a quick turnaround, by the way. So all that energy they exerted in the second half, you got a quick turnaround. It's an afternoon tip off Saturday against Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, gonna be a tough game against are they two now in the Conference USA rankings?
Three. A game back from first. Right. So a win would put them in a good spot. Middle Tennessee wants this win badly. They won back to back. They just beat the Aggies at home. At the Pan Am Center. Right. And so Miners, Blue Raiders Saturday.
Yeah, it is a quick turnaround, but let's see. I do like the heart that they showed. Maybe they could keep that up, right? The second half up and roll it into maybe not starting so slow, but Just turn the page here. Great stat, by the way. 10-20 in February. It's over, though. February's over. We're on to March.
On to March. That's the mentality. This is the final game of February, and tomorrow will be the final day of February. And unless we get off this radio station, we're going to be on the air until March. So let's do this. Let's wind it up here on the show. I appreciate you, George Rojardo, for all you did here on the program today, subbing in as an assistant producer with Alberto Retta throughout the broadcast and then serving as our co-host here on Minor Talk as we were a little undermanned. But hey, you know what? We don't take excuses over here on Minor Talk. Underman, short man, guy
next
hurt,
man
guy sick, next man up mentality. We're ready to go, right?
Absolutely.
Look, you're in the captain's chair.
Yeah, I'm in the captain's chair. I'm the CEO for the day. No, thanks. Thank you for the opportunity. Shout out to Alberto for holding it down. Dude is tired. He works the morning show.
I know,
with KLAQ. He grinds. And yeah, hoping for a speedy recovery from our boy Sal and his son. So,
yeah, most definitely. And then for Alberto Retta, hoping he has a great vacation. But we'll be back in action Saturday. So we've got a big one. We'll be live at the District West, 3233 North Mesa, ahead of the tip-off. And, of course, we'll have the matchup for you here, 600 ESPN El Paso, and afterward, Minor Talk to close out Senior Day. For George Rojardo, I'm Adrian Broaddus saying so long, and thanks for listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box. If you miss any of our podcast or our show, check us out on demand wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Adrian. He's George. You can check us out tomorrow on Sports Talk, 4 o'clock on 600 ESPN El Paso.
When temperatures fall, you can rise above heating costs with the maximum performance and energy-saving efficiency of a Champion furnace. The complete Champion line is equipped to take on the toughest conditions. So no matter what the season brings, you can depend on a Champion to keep you comfortable.